Well, a lot of you have been asking questions about voting, so I hope that this will not only kind of look at it scripturally, but also maybe give you some practical ideas. Let me also mention that I just have such high respect for Voice of the Martyrs. I interview many of the people over the years. Of course, as you may remember, when Ceausescu was the premier there, how he was destroying churches, he was confiscating Bibles and turning the Bibles into toilet paper. I've interviewed individuals that went through that experience, and so certainly one of the great organizations that you might want to support is Voice of the Martyrs, another one called Open Doors, and certainly as we talk about persecuted Christians, that would be the case, and I would highly recommend that you find out about that. And since I got Catherine here, we got a movie coming out on Hudson Taylor too. Yeah, so there are just some great opportunities. Find out a little bit about that afterwards. That's still just in process, but I am excited about all these movies, and of course I can only imagine is done by the Irwin brothers, and I've been following these young guys. I've got clothes as old as some of these kids. I mean, you know, but they have been producing these great movies, and this one may be one of the most successful. They think that I can only imagine will do as least as well, perhaps as well, as War Room, which was perhaps the most successful kind of Christian film from independent groups. Of course, the most successful Christian film is Passion of the Christ, and of course you have Part 2 coming out as well. And by the way, Jim Caviezel, who plays Jesus in that one, actually plays Luke in the book, the movie with Paul. So again, just a lot of little footnotes here. Because I have a chance to meet some of these people and hear some of the backstories, it's really good material. So anyway, if you can go to any of the movie theaters to find out more about Voice of the Martyrs, or of course, I think it'll be available online pretty quickly in a DVD, and who knows, maybe we could show that some Sunday here during Persecuted Sunday. But let's get into the issue of Christians and voting, because you've had a lot of questions about that. And again, let me recommend to you this book. Now, some of you may have the booklet. If you don't, there's other copies in the back. I brought at least 100, so there should be one for everybody, but certainly one for every couple. And if there's a few left over at the end and nobody looks like they're grabbing them, grab some more and hand them to your friends, because this is my attempt to try to answer some of those questions. And one of those is, well, how do we think about this scripturally? Well, first of all, I would argue that the Bible does teach that we have a citizenship both in heaven and in earth. Certainly, you can make the case in Philippians 3:20, where it even says, Paul says, that we have a citizenship in heaven. But at the same time, do we have a citizenship in earth? Well, of course, Paul had a Roman citizenship. And as we're going to go through the book of Acts, you will see how he used his citizenship sometimes to advance the gospel. And Jesus even told us that even though he is sending us into the world, in a sense, we also have a citizenship here. He says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. So I would say that we have a citizenship both in heaven and in earth. We need to think about then what that means, because some people say, well, should the church get involved in politics? Well, it depends on your definition of church. If you're saying, should the church, that is the body of Christ, should believers get involved, should they be politically involved? I would think the answer should be that would be yes. You saw the list of individuals in this church who already serve in some capacity. This week, for example, I did an interview with Representative Jeff Leach, who is the representative in Austin in this general area. I've had a chance to interview Matt Shaheen in the past. I've had a chance to interview Ken Paxton, who at that time was state senator, later interviewed him as attorney general. And you can go down on along the list here. And certainly we're told to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're supposed to be our ambassadors. And so whether God calls you, spiritual gifts, right? If God calls you into the business world, you need to be God's ambassador in the business world. If God calls you into your community, we learned in the men's retreat just a week or two ago that really we should see ourselves as the pastor of our street. I've started taking that seriously and said, okay, well, I got a long street, but okay, can I be the pastor of this cul-de-sac? I know most of my neighbors, but can I say, could I pray for you? Can I help you? Those kinds of things. So God's called you in that regard. And if God maybe calls you into the political realm, I think you are called to be an ambassador there as well. Now, if you're talking about the institution, well, no. Even Jesus said, you know, there was a big question. Should I pay a poll tax? What did he say? Render unto the Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God's the things that are God's. So there's a difference between civil authority and ecclesiastical authority. But we certainly do have a government that exists. And so the question you might ask is in Romans 13, why does government exist? Well, Paul answers that question because he says every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So why do we have government? God created it. And so certainly we have that responsibility. So the Bible teaches that God, in a sense, established government, and these governments rule the nations of the world. Now, we are privileged, unlike, say, the believers in the first century, because we are a government of the people, and by the people, and for the people. And so in some respects, that means God put us in charge. Even this next general election, we have 35 U.S. Senate seats up, 435 seats for the House of Representatives. You come to Texas, you have the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, land commissioner, all the way down to then 31 state senators and 150 state representatives. If you add all these elections and all these states up, almost 30,000 elections. And who determines who's going to be in office and who's going to get a pink slip? The voters do, right? So that's something to think about as well. So I would say that one of our fundamental rights is that of voting. We elect leaders who in turn are responsible for being our representatives in government. And so I would suggest to you that we do have a civic responsibility to vote. And you can read the booklet for some more arguments for that. I'd also say that we have a civic responsibility to be involved in the society. For example, jury duty. Now, I've had some Christians say, oh, I never want to be on jury duty. Well, I got a son-in-law that's a trial lawyer. Would he like people like you on the jury? Yes, he would. If you don't come, guess who gets on the jury? People not all like you. You see what I'm saying? You know, contacting our legislators. But one of the things we found is a lot of Christians don't vote in elections. And so, again, I talk about this a little bit in the booklet because one of my fellow talk show hosts a number of years ago went out and asked people, why are you not even registered to vote? The number one answer is, well, if I'm registered to vote, then I'll be on jury duty. Well, first of all, that's a really bad answer, but also it's a pretty inaccurate answer because in most states, they don't get the people on the jury from the voter rolls. They get them from, well, who the citizens are. So first of all, it's not a very good argument, both theologically, but it isn't a good argument there. And then some people say, well, I don't vote because I'm tired of the negative campaign ads. Anybody here tired of the negative campaign ad? Yes, you are. Matter of fact, that's one of the discussion questions I'm going to put up in just a minute. And I recognize that we have been seen some of the most outrageous ads I think I've ever seen. Now, I don't think, when I say negative, I don't mean comparison ads. I mean one that says, I agree with the stand of the governor or the president on this issue and my opponent disagrees. Okay, that's a comparison ad. I think that's fine. I'm talking about those ads where you hear this voice, this person, Bob Smith, when he comes home, actually kicks the dog at night. You know, that kind of stuff. And there's black and white pictures and there's just really horrible stuff being said, most of which is untrue. Those are a little different. Now, what I've noticed, though, is some people on Facebook, and even to me sometimes, have said, you know, I'm so tired of the negative ads, I'm not going to vote. You know what my answer is? So you want more of them. What do you mean? No, I want less of them. No, I understand. The reason negative ads are being recommended by some of these political consultants to these candidates is because if you can't get people to vote for you, then we'll try to suppress the vote for your opponent. And what it does is suppress the vote for everyone. So the fact that people don't vote because of negative ads encourages more negative ads. So even though you may not like the negative ads, do an evaluation of the candidates. Even if you don't like that candidate, there's probably somebody you can vote for on Tuesday if you haven't already voted. So that's at least one suggestion there as well. What other points are? Well, we should also, again, submit to, again, government. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. So we see that there's just a number of verses we can find that say that we should obey those in authority. Second of all, it also teaches us that we should pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And so again, when we pray for those in authority, you've heard me say this if you've been in the class for a while, people have come up with the idea of praying for the key 16. These are 16 people who are in authority over you, who in very significant ways affect your life. That, of course, would be the president. That would be 9 members of the Supreme Court. There would be your 2 U.S. senators, your 1 representative, your governor, your state senator, your state representative. Now, if you want to add to that your city council, your mayor, and a number, I can understand that. But those are 16 individuals that indeed are in authority over you. And again, if I were to ask many of us in the room to name all 9 Supreme Court justices, I think most of us would start looking at our shoes, wouldn't we? Because we aren't praying for those Supreme Court justices. We're going to be making some really important decisions in this term about our future. Our 2 senators, our representative, our governor, and others. These are individuals that affect us. So, again, just to summarize this, we should obey those in authority. We should pray for those in authority. And I tried to make a case that I think also, because we are given the privilege, we should vote for those in authority. Okay, so let's then now talk very practically. Some of you may have already voted in early voting. Others are going to vote Tuesday. Some of you are wondering, well, should I vote at all? Well, even if you voted before, and you're going to certainly want to apply this when we talk about the general election. But how have Christians done in terms of the stewardship of the vote? We've heard Pastor Graham talk about this before. You maybe have heard Gary Frazier talk about this before. Christians aren't the most represented group in society because oftentimes we have not been good stewards of the vote. But let's just talk about how important one vote is. You ever heard somebody say, well, what does it matter? My vote doesn't make any difference. Let's just look at a couple of presidential elections and see how close the votes were. How about in 2000? That's the map. Presidential election was decided by 527 votes in the state of Florida. Remember this one? When I talk to kids, some of them don't remember this, you know. Again, when I deal with these millennials, some of them, well, no, I was in grade school. I don't remember that. But you remember the Supreme Court decisions and all that. But here's something very interesting. If you just changed 5,381 votes in 4 states, that would have resulted in a 269-269 electoral college tie. That's how close it was. How close was it? You had 50 Republicans. You had 50 Democrats in the U.S. Senate until one individual, the state of Vermont, said, no, I guess maybe I'm an independent. And that changed things there. And in the House elections, interestingly enough, if you just had a collective ship of 5,493 votes in 5 districts, it would have put Dick Gephardt in charge as Speaker of the House. That's a pretty close election, right? 4 years later, what did it look like? It changed just a little bit, but again, the presidential election in most cases, people agree, was decided in the state of Ohio. George Bush won the state's 20 electoral votes by 50.8% of the vote. The reason many people believe that he won that is because you had 13 states, including Ohio, that had what were called marriage protection amendments, and that caused for a greater percentage of Christians to turn out in many cases because they wanted to define marriage between one man and one woman in these various states, and that maybe was the difference there, 50.8%. Okay, let's look at the last election, 2016. Was that one close at all? I think so. Let's think this one through as well. Donald Trump won, ultimately, 306 electoral votes. Hillary Clinton won 232 electoral votes. Now, the actual vote was different. Certain electors are not bound, and so actually the final vote that was actually done last year was Donald Trump got 304 electoral votes, Hillary Clinton got 227 electoral votes, Colin Powell got 3 votes, John Kasich got 1 vote, Ron Paul got 1 vote, Bernie Sanders got 1 vote, and Faith Spotted Eagle got 1 vote as well. So, which is why I think we got to think about whether or not we should bind the electors to vote according to the decision of their states. But again, you can say this one wasn't quite as close as some of the others. But again, if you look at 3 states and about 80,000 votes, that elected Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. Have I made my case? Now, those are just looking at the national one. But you said, okay, we're going to vote primarily for people in the state. Okay, let's take a few of these. And here you will see two individuals. On the left-hand side, first of all, you'll see Matt Rinaldi. Matt Rinaldi was actually elected by 1,136 votes. But my all-time favorite last time, although we've had closer ones in the past, was this one. And this one's pretty amazing because we're talking about here, Briscoe Kane really won to go into the runoff by 714 votes. But then when they had the runoff election, he was elected by 23 votes. So when people say, does one vote make a difference? If we were all in one district, just the people in this room would have determined who is in the state legislature. And if you've been around before, I actually give you a little bit of fun because I have collected some of the closest votes in American history. And one of those is Penny Pullen, who's actually a very good friend. If you've ever heard me on Moody Broadcasting, Penny Pullen for many years was a representative in the Illinois state legislature. And so we would oftentimes do programs together. And when she ran for re-election, there were some voter irregularities. This happens in Illinois. Okay, in Illinois, they talk about vote early, vote often. You ever heard this phrase before? Okay. So they eventually sorted it out and concluded that the only way they could really sort it out was to assume that it was a tie. How do you deal with a tie? Well, Judge Francis Barr said, well, we will toss a coin, and she lost. Here's the rest of the story. That Sunday, a few dozen church members came up to Penny and apologized for not voting. They said, oh, Penny, if I'd known it was important, I got home late and I didn't bother going to the polls. Oh, Penny, I was out of town, but if I'd known it was so important, I would have gotten an absentee ballot. If just one of those church members had voted for her, Penny would still be in Springfield, Illinois. The other one that I love, and there have been some since then, but this was still the funniest of all. William Crawford and Gene Miller actually did. It was an identical number of votes. Rarely happens, but they exactly had the exact same number of votes for a city council race. But the fun part about that is William Crawford looked at his sons, and neither of his sons voted in that election. One son was going to college and lived at home, and the other son across the street. Wouldn't you like to have been at that Thanksgiving dinner, huh? And so he lost ultimately again because of a coin toss because his sons did not vote for their dad. Pretty amazing. Okay, you might say, okay, where do I get some election information before we have our discussion time here? You can go to Denton County, Dallas County. Here's the one for Collin County. And you can see that it has all sorts of voter information. It has information about where to go, where to vote, all those kinds of things. And you say, okay, but I don't know what the ballot's like. I'd like to look at it ahead of time. Well, you click on that button, and there's a sample ballot. And so all you have to know, look at your voter registration card, which precinct you're in. I'm in precinct 147, so there it is. And so I had it all filled out and looked at it ahead of time. So, again, there are lots of people to vote for. There's a number of state initiatives and propositions to vote for. So take the time to do the research. Okay, at this point you say, okay, where do I find information about some of these candidates? Well, again, we've been providing some of that. We have back in the back there ones for Dallas County, Collin County, and certainly Denton County. And so it is a summary of seven different groups that have endorsed. Sometimes they endorse, sometimes they don't. Now, one of the questions some of you are asking is, what is all the controversy about, quote, outside groups influencing the election? Well, these are groups that are, you know, they sometimes have a national exposure, but these are local people. You might have seen the article the other day in the Dallas Morning News about, well, we have Empower Texas. Yeah, well, these are by Texans, you know. It's always amazing to me, you know, if George Soros involved in election, nobody says a word about it. But if it's the Koch brothers, boy, we hear about it every day. You know, if it's the National Federation Teachers or it's Planned Parenthood, no problem. But boy, if it's, you know, Texas Right to Life, we got an issue. So anyway, these are how seven different groups have voted for it. But you can also find some of the others. But you might say, well, I'd like to know a little bit more about how they answered their voter questionnaires. Where would I find that? Oh, I bring you good news. There's one called iVoter Guide, and iVoter Guide is there. And so you go to iVoter Guide. and then type in your address. And then what it does is it gives you an evaluation of every one of those. Let's look at the state senate. There's Ted Cruz and all the opponents. And then they have individuals that actually evaluate, are these answers that we're getting back on their candidate surveys, are they very conservative, conservative, somewhat conservative, moderate, somewhat liberal, liberal, very liberal? And you might say, well, what if I don't trust them? Well, then you click, everything on there is actionable. There's HTML. You can go and look at for yourself and see if you'd come to the same conclusion. And so they do this for at least all the statewide candidates. Now, that won't help you so much maybe with Collin County or Denton County or things like that. But the point I'm making is, with just a little bit of research, you can find out a lot more. You can also, of course, I have never found a candidate that does not have a Facebook site or a website. Even if they don't have a website, they almost always have a Facebook page. And you can go there and see who endorses them, and you can see some of the issues that they are talking about as well. So if nothing else, one of the things I thought I would do, just to kind of get us thinking for just a minute, is in the booklet we talk about, and Richard Ford has put this together, what's called a citizenship quotient. And that is to evaluate how you're doing as a citizen. And I'm not going to grade these, but if you wanted to actually evaluate yourself, do this. Can you name your two U.S. senators? If that's the case, you get 10 points. Can you name your representative? If that's the case, 10 more points. Can you name your state senator and your state representative? You get 10 points there, so you would get 40 points right there if you could do all those things. Don't feel bad. Richard Ford, in all the research he's done, found that only about 5% of Americans can actually do those four different things. The two senators, the representative, the state senator, state representative. Okay, you get 10 more points if you register to vote. Everybody probably gets that. 10 more points if you prayed for one of your legislators. You get 10 points if you contacted one of your legislators. And you get 10 points each you voted in the last three elections. So it would be 10, 10, 10. Now, if you have a perfect score, it's 10 times 10, which is 100. You can kind of evaluate how you did. What he found is, again, in some of the surveys he'd done, that the average is 20.6. Which still just, it baffles me. If you're registered to vote and you know, and you just voted in one election, you'd get 20, right? So it just shows you what we're kind of dealing with today. But another one, that's just a way to kind of think through your citizenship. And you might say, well, okay, I don't know who my state representative is. I don't know who my state senator is. Frankly, I don't even know who the governor is. Maybe, I don't know. Here. Again, there's a website. Type in, use Google, because Google knows all, who represents me, and it takes you to who represents me. And you can see I put in my address right there. And so then it gives me my two U.S. senators. That's clickable, so you can get theirs. It gives me my representative, and that's clickable. It gives me my state senator. It gives me his capital office, his capital phone, his capital address. It gives me his district address. It gives me his district phone, his state representative, his even my person on the Texas school board. Is that amazing? So again, the point I'm making is there's lots of great resources for you that is available.